Bring your Christian greetings aloud this morning. Trust the Lord will again fill the needs of our hearts as we look into His Word together. But I was struck with a thought in one of my devotions here recently. In preserving our heritage, passing on a godly heritage, the various titles one could give that. And I believe that every parent here this morning must be committed to faithfulness unto the end. For if we become discouraged and give up our heritage, what will the next generation do if we err by the way? Psalms 48, verse 13, mark ye well her bulwarks, consider the palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. Are we concerned this morning of passing that godly heritage on to the next generation? As we think of a godly heritage, and I want to take two individuals in the Bible in the Old Testament this morning, two that were concerned about passing it on. And I believe that as time goes on, and I realize this morning as I bring this message, other than Homer and I, we're about the only grandpas in the congregation. We think of the quick passing of time. We think of the fleeting of life and how important it is to pass on that godly heritage. Well, we live in a generation that has largely failed because they've cast off God's standard. Back in the 60s, and I don't want to get too far into that because it's not our subject this morning. Our subject is preserving the godly faith, preserving the godly heritage. But in the 60s, you have the hippie movement who promoted rebellion. You don't need to listen to parents anymore. You don't need to listen to your authority anymore. But it is primarily in the family that I believe God intends that this godly heritage is handed down from generation to generation. God taught this in the Old Testament as well. Teach it to the rising generation. God promised Abraham to give him a family, and from it, that family to make a nation, to bless other nations. Abraham's family was the foundation of the nation of Israel, from which our Savior came. Now you go with me to Genesis chapter 48. We want to notice an individual who was concerned about this being Abraham's grandson, Jacob, handing his heritage to God, in God into his son, Joseph, and to his grandsons. Fathers, this morning we can not only be concerned about our generation today, but we must be concerned about a generation tomorrow. Our sons, our grandchildren, and on down through the ages. Where will they be if we continue the trend that we're on? I'm going to read portions of this scripture. We're not going to read everything because I want to move on. We want to notice a few points here with Jacob. And we want to move on to King David as he hands it on to Solomon. And notice a few things there and then look at some practical pointers for us today. And it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, behold, thy father is sick. And he took with him his sons. And then we move on down through to omit some there. Where he brings them to Jacob. And Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, who are these? And Joseph said unto his father, they are my sons, whom God hath given me in this place. And he said, bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. Now we know the eyes of Jacob were dim for age, so that he could not see, and he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them, And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God hath showed me also thy seed. And Joseph brought them out. And can you imagine the expression that was on his face at that time? It was probably a very radiant expression as he realized that here was Joseph, the son that he thought he lost. And here's his grandchildren, his grandsons. Going down to verse 13, and Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right and hand and toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. We know the rest of the story, how that Israel crisscrossed his hands to, and Joseph tried to stop him, and he said, no, son, I know what I'm doing. He was concerned about following God's plan and passing it on to the next generation. Out of all the events recorded in Jacob's long life, the author of Hebrews selects this verse in Hebrews 11, verse 20, and I want to turn to that and read it. You can stay right where you are because we want to look at some points there before we leave that. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 21, by faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. We'll leave that there now. And Jacob had, as we look at Jacob's experience here, as we look at the experience of and Jacob's burden and concern about passing on the faith, we want to notice 3 points out of this chapter in passing on the godly heritage. And I believe that the most important thing this morning we want to recognize is that we can give our children and grandchildren is a godly heritage. It's the best thing you can do for them. A life that is lived for God. An example that we have left for them. How will we pass it on if we're not that kind of example? Number one, we give a godly heritage by taking spiritual concern. Not only for our children, but also for our grandchildren. Our work isn't done when children all are gone. But the work goes on. Jacob adopts these two grandsons almost as his own sons and imparts his blessing to them with Jacob as well as with his father Isaac. In 48 verse 15 it says that Jacob blessed Joseph. But as you go on to read the blessing, you discover that Jacob blessed Joseph by blessing Joseph's sons. Parents are truly blessed when their parents take a concern, a great concern for the spiritual well-being of not just their children, but also their grandchildren and on down through the families. We need to remember that what we do in life, it leaves a very important example for the rising generations to follow. Our goal should be to raise up godly generations, not only through our children, but also through their children, on down through the ages. Grandparents, I believe, who love the Lord, are a great gift to every child, whether it be a child or whether it be a grandchild. Do we recognize, and as I thought about this, do we recognize the importance of the influences of our life to promote a godly heritage? As I thought of our brother Homer, and as I, what drove me on into this subject this morning, being 2 years older than I am, life is but a vapor. It's but a span of time that we are here to do God's work, and we are here to pass on that godly heritage. I believe that as Christians, we're concerned about, we need to be most concerned about the spiritual well-being of the rising generations. Maybe sometimes we don't always communicate that the way we should. And may God give us the grace and the strength and wisdom to do so, that we might communicate that to the rising generations. I believe that as we look at Jacob's experience here, he speaks encouraging words. He is encouraging them. He speaks words of encouragement to carry on the work. He draws them near to himself. Though there is no mention of the look on his face, I mentioned it must have been very radiant. His face must have been shining with gladness and rejoicing that here is my son Joseph that I thought was gone. And then he goes on to bless them. Take a deep spiritual concern, not only for yourself, not only for your children, but also for the next generations. And wrap it in love that they can feel. Number two in this passage of Scripture, I believe that we give a godly heritage by recounting to our children and grandchildren our own experiences with God. We find him doing this in this passage of Scripture. You read the whole chapter. That we are recounting to our children and grandchildren our own experiences with God and are something that they can glean some truths from and build on. This, of course, assumes that we are walking with the Lord. We need to diligently be walking with the Lord ourselves if we expect to pass on this godly heritage. We find Jacob expressing his gratitude that God had just allowed him to see not only Joseph, but the offspring of Joseph. Then in blessing his sons in chapter 48, Jacob recounted God's faithfulness and goodness again, even in his unexpected crossing of his hands, so that the blessing of the firstborn went to Ephraim instead of Manasseh. Jacob, I believe, was recounting his own experiences of God's grace. Let me pick out of this chapter just three things that I'd like to show you under this second point. Tell your children and your grandchildren, if God grants you that, tell them of God's covenant faithfulness toward you. And I believe that as we do that, they will see in us a life that they too will desire. Even in times of sorrow, they will see that radiant joy of the Lord on our heart. When your family looks at your life, are they inclined to see God in your life? Are you one who has been just an habitual complainer? The startling thought that strikes me this morning is, what will they remember of you, of me, when I'm gone, or when you're gone? There's been a thought that has gripped my heart preparing this message. What will people remember? About us when we're gone. There is one thing that lives on when we're gone, and that is our influence is going to live on. If we have lived a life that does not paint a picture of a godly person, but yet profess to be a Christian, I'm sure we've all heard the statement that if that's Christianity, I don't want anything to do with it. But will they remember us by the godly life that we have lived? I leave that as a challenge. Secondly, tell them of God's great salvation. God's great salvation, the great plan of salvation. Read that in Psalms 48, verse 16. You can take that as your text verse if you want. But But the word redeemed is a special Hebrew word that was used of a near relative who had the means of helping a poor relative out of bondage. God has provided salvation for you and I today when we did not deserve it. We were hopelessly and helplessly lost. But because of his great love, he has redeemed us. It's a beautiful picture of what God did for us in Christ. We were enslaved to sin. No way of getting out of it. They need to know that they need Christ as their Redeemer. It's the only way to go to heaven. Thirdly, tell them of God's amazing grace. In blessing his grandsons, Jacob deliberately crossed his hands so that his right hand rested upon Ephraim, the youngest, instead of upon Manasseh. Why did Jacob do that? I believe because God had revealed to Jacob that Ephraim would take preeminence over Manasseh among the tribes of Israel. There was no human reasoning that Jacob blessed Ephraim above his older brother. But in so doing, Jacob was illustrating a divine principle which he had learned. God blesses us apart from any merit on our part. And the third main point of this, as we look at chapter 48, we give a godly heritage by picturing to our children and grandchildren our hopes for their future in the Lord. That ought to be our high interest. First of all, that we remain faithful, and that they too would remain faithful. The point is that I believe Jacob here pictured a great future in the Lord for his children and grandchildren. A future that involved the fulfillment of God's promises. As God's people in our day, we need to picture for our children the great purpose of completing the task of which God has called us. The great task of evangelism, the great task of doing God's work in this world as being the most important thing that could be done. Joseph's sons were set up to be great in the palace, but they walked away from it. Do we sometimes take pride in our accomplishments of our children in this world? Or do we take pride in, do we have the greatest desire that they would excel in God's kingdom, in God's work? I believe that ought to be utmost in our hearts and minds. God's plan is different than ours. Joseph had to bow before that plan. And we need to encourage our children to follow the Lord with all their heart. But at the same time, realize that the Lord may not want them to be what we want them to be sometimes. And then we need to accept that as parents and as grandparents. Maybe we have it cut out in our mind of what we want our children to do. Or maybe we have it cut out in what we want our grandchildren to do. That may not always be God's plan. As Jacob blessed those two grandsons, Joseph tried to reverse that. But this was not God's plan. And Jacob made it clear. As parents this morning, we should feel greatly blessed that God if our children are blessed of him and have a desire to walk with him. I want to take you now to King David. Go with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and 29. Bring some pointers out there very quickly. I'm going to simply be referring to some verses in those chapters. We're not going to take time to read them. First Chronicles chapter 28 and chapter 29. We see here some more steps to leaving a godly legacy or leaving a godly heritage to the next generation. A legacy, listen to this, a legacy is not a resume or list of accomplishments. A legacy is the imprint you leave on the future. As a result, we all have a legacy. We all will leave a legacy. We all will leave something behind. And we will leave our legacy either by default or by design. I want to share with you 12 things out of these two chapters this morning. As we think of the importance of leaving a godly legacy. To leave a godly legacy to the next generation, you find that in chapter 28, verse 9. And thou Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. This is David talking to Solomon. To leave a godly legacy or a godly heritage to the next generation, you must disciple them. You must instruct them. And we find David giving instruction here. You shall teach them diligently to your children. In Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7. When you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you work with them, teach them diligently. Secondly, to leave a godly legacy to the next generation, you must encourage them. You find that in verse 10. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong. And he says, do it. Be strong and do it. Do we encourage our children like this? For the Lord has chosen you to build a house. We know the story. David could not build because he was a man of war, but he had everything. He had everything prepared. Tell them that God has chosen you to walk in this path. Thirdly, in verses 11 and 12, and I'm not going to take time to read them. You can look at them if you're open there. To leave a godly legacy or a godly heritage to the next generation, you must equip them. You must give the next generation your plans, your expertise, your experience, and energy. This is what David done in these verses in chapter 28. David had things prepared. He wanted him to grasp that burden to build the house that he was asked to build, that he could not build. In verses 13 to 19 in that same chapter, to leave a godly legacy to the next generation, you must resource them. David provides an itemized list of everything. He gives Solomon all those detailed instructions. We must equip them for the work at hand. I'd say we need to prepare them for that time. To leave a godly legacy, number 5, to the next generation or a godly heritage, you must empower them. People are naturally insecure at times. You find this in verse 20, where, and I believe it's very vital that they know that you support them. They know that you're behind them. And David tells Solomon in verse 20, he says, be strong and of good courage and do it. Do not fear. Don't be dismayed. You know, we can look at how terrible the world is and we say, how can our children and grandchildren ever make it? Let me tell you something. I believe the world was just as bad back in the time of Noah, and Noah made it, just him and his family, faithfully, in a time that is possible today. To leave a godly heritage or a godly legacy to the next generation, you must position them for success. With the start of chapter 29, we see David shifting his communication to the Jewish people. It says right here in verse 1, "Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son." He set the path. He made the record clear. "My son is called to take up this work." In addition to giving the next generation plans and resources, you must also give them your platform to continue on the work. Number 7, to leave a godly legacy to the next generation, you must publicly reaffirm them, as David has done here. Number 8, to leave a godly legacy to the next generation, you must remind them there is work left for them to do. God has a work for you to do. God has a work for all to do. You are here for a purpose. You are here for a reason. You are called to work for Him, to take up the work of the Lord. Number 9, to leave a godly legacy or a godly heritage to the next generation, you must point them to Jesus. David, I believe, pointed his son to God. You must point them to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Point them to God. To leave a godly legacy to the next generation, you must reassure that reassure them. It is a very humbling experience to be called of God to work for Him. It's a privilege to do God's work. And that it is important, but King David reminded Solomon he had been set up, he has been called by God. The temple's completion was doable. In verses 2 and 3, King David lists everything with which he had already been preparing. Are we preparing for the next generation to continue on the work? Are we building the platform for them? To leave a godly legacy to the next generation, you must release them. You must let them move ahead. And I believe that's why it's important that as we move on in the work of the church, that younger men are brought into the work. And as we get older, we move back and let them move ahead. And don't let the old age hinder the work of God. I think it's important. I'm a firm believer of that. It is a time that we need to look at work moving on with younger men in the lead. I don't consider myself as an old man this morning, but I do see the importance of the work going on with younger men. The time comes for the next generation to leave home and to plant their own stakes in the work of God's kingdom. Who then, he says King David asked the people, who then, in verse 5 in chapter 29, he says, in the end of that verse, and he says, "And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord?" And you can read on through there and see their response to that. And the 12th point is this: to leave a godly legacy to the next generation, you must rejoice with them. King David, I believe, left a godly legacy. Jacob left a godly legacy. What about you and I today? And an imprint on the future, which we still benefit from today. I trust this morning we will take these 12 points and take it very seriously. But I want to leave you with just a few reminders as you think about what will people remember you of? What will people remember of you when you're gone? What will people remember of me when I'm gone? I share with you just a number of points in relation to that very quickly. Do they see us as a person that leaves a legacy of joy in the midst of difficult times? Do they see that radiance on our face? Do they see that radiance in our life? That even though we've been through some difficult times in our lives, did we leave a legacy of joy that they could remember that was in our life during those difficult times? Secondly, do they see us leaving a legacy of receiving and giving grace? Do they see us, thirdly, as leaving a legacy of encouraging and inspiring others toward the Lord? But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you be hardened by sins of deceitfulness. Do they see us, number four, as leaving a legacy of giving my time, giving my treasures, giving my energy for kingdom work? Are we leaving that kind of example for our children and for our grandchildren, for the rising generations? Or are we always too busy to do God's work? And I believe that as I think of time quickly fleeting away, and as I thought about this more seriously than ever before, in our hand, our life is in the hands of the Lord. Are we laboring for Him? Number five, do they see us leaving a legacy of being a model of forgiveness? Being ready to forgive. Being ready to lay down. Do they see us, number six, leaving a legacy of unconditional love for my family, for my friends? Is that how they see you? Do they see us leaving a legacy of leading and discipling people to Christ? Is that our goal? Is that our motive in life? We're here to evangelize the world. Number eight, do they see us leaving a legacy of hearing and doing the Word of God? May we have a great desire this morning to leave a legacy of doing God's work, rather than just sitting around and acquiring riches to ourselves and knowledge to ourselves and on and on. Do they see us living a selfish life? Or leaving a legacy of hearing and doing God's work? Number nine, do they see us leaving a legacy of doing good and productive work? Doing good and productive work for the kingdom of God. And I trust that as we evaluate those nine things, that we would be challenged to make them real in our own personal life. That when we are gone, they will remember the things that we have done for God and for others. Serving others is serving God. And that we put others first. That we are putting first the work of God in our life. There is no better legacy that we can leave than that. And number 10, yet, do they see us leaving a legacy of looking towards and forward to that heavenly home? Do they hear us talking about it? Do they hear it mentioned? Because we're not here to stay. None of us are. We're not here to stay. So this morning I want to challenge you. What legacy are you leaving for the rising generations? May God help us to live to that end. Shall we pray? Dear God, I humbly come before you this morning. I trust and pray, dear God, that this message this morning may encourage each one to leave a godly legacy. God, I pray that you will forgive us. We may be in times where we may have been selfish, in times where we may have put ourselves first. I pray, dear God, help me, help each one of us to live for you in serving others and leading them to Jesus Christ. I pray, God, that you would bless each one as we go forth from here this morning. Our hearts might be gripped with the seriousness of leaving a godly legacy, a godly heritage, that our children and our grandchildren would be faithful in living for you. Bless those youth going to Bible school. Give them safety, Lord, and may they be enriched as they study the word to come home and put it to practice. That it would be a stepping stone in their spiritual life. Pray for those who are administrating Bible school. Bless them with wisdom to make wise choices. So God, I pray, go with us now. Guide us and direct us throughout this uneven journey of life is what we ask in your name. Amen.